We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Christmas and one for Epiphany. And we'll send you this new CD for any size year-end donation. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift before the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
Having gays in the military does not hurt the military. It improves the military. It adds to recruitment possibilities.
There are definitely some pretty strong views within the chaplain community. I would not for a minute assume that if the law were repealed, every single chaplain would stay in the military. We should assume that we may lose some of our chaplains.
That's why families everywhere are taught to place the menorah in public view so the entire world can see its light. As the Talmud teaches us, so long as a person still has life, they should never abandon faith.
If that's what you're looking for, is a church in which I am going to have nothing but happy thoughts and be given a positive image of myself, and that's all I want to hear, then repentance is a buzzkill.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, the headline in the Los Angeles Times reads, "Majority of Muslims want Islam in politics," poll says, and according to a new poll from the Pew Research Group, there is a desire for Islam to have an influence not only in politics but also in law in the United States. Of course, we had the case recently, the state of Oklahoma attempting to say definitively that Sharia law, that is the everyday law of the land in many Muslim countries, a law based around the holy writings of the Quran and other holy writings of Islam, should not be a part in the legal considerations, at least in the state of Oklahoma. And there was a bit of a firestorm after that. A lot of American Muslims denying that they want Sharia in American law. We'll find out what Robert Spencer has to say about all of that here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. We are coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. It's December the 8th. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch will be our guest for the first few minutes. Then we'll have a couple of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll be talking about preaching in about a half hour here. Pastor John Berg, author of an article in the latest issue of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, titled "The Art of Preaching," will join us. He has some rather radical thing to say about Christian preaching. Then in the second hour of the program, we'll be studying the Advent hymn, "Creator of the Stars of Night." Pastor Will Whedon will join us in the studio, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, and one of our listeners' favorite guests. We'll be studying that Advent hymn, perhaps unfamiliar to you, but you're going to want to stick around and listen because it's a remarkable hymn of Christ. In the second hour of the program, our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch. He's a weekly columnist for Human Events and Front Page magazine, and he's author of several books, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. Robert, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Always a pleasure.
We are told, and sometimes it's not even said explicitly, it's simply assumed that Islam is a private religion, a private faith, and has no real inherent political overtones or purposes. Is this true?
No, it's not remotely true. Actually, Islam is the only religion in the world that has a developed doctrine and theology and legal system that involves political action and is considered to be part and parcel of the faith just as much as the regulations involving individual religious observance. And so there are numerous Muslims around the world, including very well-organized international groups such as the Muslim Brotherhood, that believe that it is not really that Islam is not really fully being implemented unless and until Islamic law is the law of the land, and that is a political and social system, not just a religious one.
You quote Reza Aslan, who says, quote, "No American Muslim, zero, absolutely none, not a single one has ever called for the imposition of Sharia in America." Is that true?
No, it's flatly false. Reza Aslan is an Islamic spokesman in the West, he's really extraordinarily dishonest, and he glides over the fact that, for example, Omar Ahmed, the co-founder of the Council on American Islamic Relations, was quoted in 1998 as saying that he wanted to see Islam become dominant in the United States and the Quran, the only law of the land here. Ibrahim Hooper, the spokesman for CARE, said that he wanted to see the United States government become Islamic sometime in the future. There's an Imam Musa in the Washington, D.C. area who has said that Muslims need to work to establish the Islamic State of America by 2050. And those are actually just a few. There are others also. It's not really surprising and should not be surprising to us that Muslims would call for the imposition of Sharia in the United States because, as I just said a minute ago, that is something that's part and parcel of the Islamic faith.
What have we learned with the attempt on the part of the state of Oklahoma to ensure that Sharia not be part of a legal framework in any shape, matter, or form? What have we learned from that particular case unfolding as it is?
Well, we know that that there are huge attempts to obfuscate what Sharia means. And, you know, the Oklahoma case, the Oklahoma ban on Sharia, was based on Islam as a political system and on the idea that we don't want Islam as a political system to be made into a source for American law. And given the fact that there are numerous authorities within the Obama administration who have said that they think it's perfectly legitimate to have recourse to international laws in order to make judgments in American courtrooms, it was perfectly reasonable to try to head that off. But what's interesting is that in the opposition to it, it has been the judge who blocked the ban on Sharia in Oklahoma said that it was purely a matter of individual religious observance, as if Oklahoma had outlawed Jewish law in terms of marriage cases or Catholic canon law or something like that. That was obviously not the intent in any way, shape, or form in the Oklahoma Sharia law and the Oklahoma Sharia ban, that is. And the judge was acting out of ignorance that was abetted by Islamic advocacy groups such as the Council on American Islamic Relations, which is bitterly ironic since the I just quoted two of their leading figures saying they wanted to see Sharia in America, and those were political statements. Then for them to turn around and say, well, Sharia is just really a religious thing and not a political one at all, it's the height of hypocrisy. They know what they're doing, and they played the judge like a fiddle.
Tell us about this new poll from the Pew Research Center that was reported on in the Los Angeles Times. In particular, are you surprised that according to that survey, majorities in Pakistan, Egypt, Jordan, and Nigeria favor changing current laws to allow stoning as a punishment for adultery, hand amputation for theft, and the death penalty for those who convert from Islam to any other religion?
No, really, anybody who's surprised by those findings does not realize what Islam really teaches. Those things are part and parcel of Islamic law. Many of them are based on the Quran. Others are based on the Hadith, such as the statements of Muhammad that are considered normative, statements and actions of Muhammad considered normative for Islamic law. And so you're talking about really mainstream Islam, and it's really only people's ignorance of what constitutes mainstream Islam, which, of course, is an ignorance that has been willfully abetted by the Islamic advocacy groups in the United States who are trying to deceive the American people. These things have led people to not really have any clear idea what Islam is all about. Unfortunately, however, Muslims do. And they know full well that these things are teachings of Islam, and so they hold to them.
So I'm a bit puzzled here, because all you need to do is to look into one of these countries where Sharia is either the predominant influence or, in fact, the law of the land in letter, and see, we hear the news stories, see what these penalties are like, see how these crimes and infractions are punished, see how women are treated in the courts, all of those kind of things. How is it possible that here in the West we somehow continue to naively believe that Islam has no political or legal impact where it holds a political majority?
Well, I think people just assume. People assume that it doesn't in the first place. They assume that Islam is a religion like Judaism and Christianity that doesn't really have any direct political or legal implications. And then based on that assumption, they look at a country like Saudi Arabia or a country like Iran, which says we base all our laws on Islamic law, and they figure, well, they must not mean that, or they must be exaggerating, or they must have some peculiar and eccentric view of Islamic law that doesn't really correspond to the real thing. And, you know, here again, this kind of thing is just based on ignorance. It's based on a, in many cases, I think, a willful misunderstanding of what Islamic law really is all about.
Is part of the way that this myth can be perpetuated what in many cases is a false distinction between Islam and radical Islam, Robert?
Yeah, a lot of people speak about radical Islam. This is a term that my publishers put in the subtitle of one of my books, but I actually don't ever use it. Radical Islam is something that is not really distinct from Islam as such. The things that make Muslims radical, the things that make them want to wage war against the United States, whether by violent or peaceful means, are things that are intrinsic to Islam, are things that are mainstream Islam, that are taught in the Quran, that are taught by Muhammad. And so to characterize them as radical, as if there is some sort of a form of Islam that doesn't teach any of those things, that doesn't teach warfare against unbelievers, it's just wishful thinking. There is no form of Islam in the world today that does not teach that it is part of the Muslim's responsibility to wage war against unbelievers in order ultimately to subjugate them under the rule of Islamic law.
When we come back, just a few more questions for Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch. We're talking about a new Pew Research Center survey on Islam in politics. Robert Spencer is a weekly columnist for Human Events and Front Page magazine, and he's author of several books, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. It's Wednesday afternoon, December the 8th. After our conversation with Robert concludes, we'll be hearing from you from the Issues Etc. comment line. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
The Word Made Flesh, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Had this God not come in human flesh, would we ever know the true God? The true God is only known in the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2010.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the 2011 International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights in Strasbourg, France.
The listeners to Issues Etc. already have had contact through the program with lecturers who will be in Strasbourg this next summer. Craig Parton, myself, Dr. Minuge, Angus Minuge, Adam Francisco, and these lecturers are people who have defended the faith, who know how to defend the faith, and who are marvelous communicators. And so, if a listener to this program wants to learn how to present the case for Christianity in a secular situation, the 2 weeks in the French Rhineland with us would be an absolutely ideal way to achieve this.
You can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July 5th through the 16th in Strasbourg, France, at apologeticsacademy.eu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a new Pew Research Center survey on Islam in politics. Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch is our guest. Robert, I got one more question for you, and I'm sure it's probably one that you have to field on a regular basis. This term Islamophobia, they will say all of this is overblown. All this concern about Islam's influence in politics and our legal system is really just people getting overly excited, and it is the ugly face of Islamophobia. How do you respond?
Islamophobia was a term that was manufactured by Islamic supremacists, including the International Institute of Islamic Thought, which is a Muslim Brotherhood group, and the Muslim Brotherhood is dedicated, in its own words, to eliminating and destroying Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house. And one of the ways they did was by inventing this term, Islamophobia, which would make people essentially ashamed of resisting jihad and Islamic supremacism. But, you know, just today there's news about yet another attempted jihad bombing in Baltimore of a military recruiting center by a young man who converted to Islam. That's not Islamophobia. To see that and to see that it is something that Muslims are working toward in the United States, something that Muslims are trying to do in the United States, wreak havoc, commit mass murder, it keeps happening. And, you know, it ain't Islamophobia. It's not Islamophobes who are out there setting off the bombs. It's Muslims. And until the peaceful Muslims acknowledge that and do something positive to try to resist it, they're just going to continue to lose the trust of the American people, who can see full well that they aren't really doing anything to stop their violent co-religionists.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch. He's a weekly columnist for Human Events and Front Page Magazine. He's author of several books, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. You can find out more about Jihad Watch and Robert's book, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran, under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Robert, thank you.
Thank you.